Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You can be seated.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. No one likes to be overwhelmed. We've all been there, haven't we? And it's not good. One can only imagine how overwhelmed the disciples of Jesus felt. Men who had been called from the simplicity of fishing nets and ordinary vocations to be preachers and teachers of a faith that would turn the world upside down. Certainly, overwhelmed by the miracles that Jesus performed right before their eyes, overwhelmed by the resurrection and ascension, overwhelmed by miracles that he continued to perform through them after his ascension. But it wasn't just the positive that was overwhelming. The night on the lake, when they were certain that their ship would sink and they would drown. The time they heard the thudding feet of soldiers coming up through the garden. The time Peter denied Jesus three times. The trial and the horrible sentence of crucifixion. The week of hiding in the upper room, overwhelmed by fear. And let's not forget Judas, overwhelmed by sin and guilt. This morning, it's the Apostle John, St. John, we call him, who experienced every overwhelming situation, both good and bad, who puts all that experience together and writes to the church in Ephesus like a father speaking tenderly to his children. A few words so that they would not become overwhelmed by the world. Being overwhelmed was very easy to become in the post-ascension world. Not long after the ascension, heresies had already begun to spring up, teaching false claims about Jesus. Like Synthus, he taught that the man, Jesus, was not conceived by the Spirit and born to the Virgin Mary. He claimed that Jesus was conceived in Mary by Joseph, like every other person on the face of the earth. He taught that the man Jesus had to be distinguished from the Son of God, whom he called the Christ, because it was at his baptism that the Christ descended upon Jesus and left at his crucifixion, a heresy that would resurface during the Reformation. He taught that Jesus was buried and will stay buried until the Christ returns, ushering in a 1,000-year reign of the kingdom on earth. Polycarp, who was a disciple of St. John, flat out calls Cerinthus the enemy of the truth. But it was not just in the early church that members faced these blatant heresies. Famous Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong, who up until his death in 2021 preached there was no such thing as a virgin birth, Princeton-educated theologian Bart Ehrman continues that claim, also that God did not become a man, and that the church councils were the ones who made Jesus the Son of God. Modern scholar Gerhard Lindemann denies the virgin birth and that Jesus rose from the dead. Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus was and is God in flesh. Instead, they claim Jesus was the incarnation of the created angel Michael. So you see, it's easy to become overwhelmed by those who have been conquered by the world simply by putting new faces on old teachings. Well, John's plea is also for us as long as his children, not to be overwhelmed by the burdens born of these false confessions as we live out our confession in this world. Our sin of having ever been interested in these abominations of our faith, our sin of complacency, which refused to stand up and speak out against such false teachings of our faith, our sin of compromise, which weakens our confession of faith, our sin of being silenced by the fear of conflict or rejection by who we know needs to hear the truth. So instead of being overwhelmed by all of this, John is calling us to become overcomers of the world. We overcome through our spirit-born faith in Jesus as our Savior. The overcoming believer is born of God and loves the Son, even as he loves the Father. The overcoming believer is he who is born of God and loves the one born of him, that is, Jesus, and also loves the children of God. That is all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We overcome as we love and live out the commands in our lives as we live with one another. And we are able to do this because his instructions are not burdensome. They do not justify us in God's eyes. Jesus did all of that, and he did it by his perfect keeping of God's law on our behalf, by his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. The sins of doubt, complacency, compromise, and silence regarding our confession of him. This faith in Jesus as the law-keeping, sin-bearing Redeemer of the world is the victory that has overcome the world. The world Luther describes as the devil, the flesh, and everything that is evil. The world which was made by Jesus but did not know him. The world that God so loved that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The world that is passing away along with all its evil desires, while the one who does the will of God lives with God forever. Finally, the overcoming faith has its only object, Jesus, who secured victory for us by the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Holy Spirit unites us by faith to Jesus when we are baptized in his blood-shedding death and his blood-renewing resurrection. The life-giving Spirit, by the life-cleansing water of baptism, connects us to the life-redeeming blood of Jesus, who has overcome the world. Jesus is God in flesh, coming to us again this day in his body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Here he feeds and sustains his bride, the church, and all her children, that they may overcome the world. In preparing for our Adam Bible study that the adults have been working through in the fellowship hall after service, I came across a quote by John Chrysostom, who was the Archbishop of Constantinople, who was writing about 300 years after the death of St. John. And he's writing about this very topic. John writes, "Beloved, Do not pass over this mystery without thought. It has yet another hidden meaning, which I will explain to you. I said that the water and the blood symbolize baptism and Holy Eucharist. From these two sacraments, the church is born. From baptism, the cleansing of water that gives rebirth and the renewal through the Holy Spirit, and from the Holy Eucharist. Since the symbols of baptism and the Eucharist float from his side, it was from his side that Christ fashioned the church, just as he fashioned Eve out of the side of Adam. As God then took a rib from Adam's side to fashion a woman, so Christ has given us blood and water from his side to fashion the church. Jesus has done all of this for you so that we may overcome the world. And overcoming the world does not mean just surviving. Overcoming the world through Jesus has some great rewards attached to it. John, in his Revelation, says 7 times he speaks of what awaits for those who overcome the world. To him who overcomes the world, I give the right to eat from the tree of life. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, I will give a new name. And he who overcomes, I will give power over the nations. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And finally, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We are not to be overcome by the world or by whatever may happen to us in it, because we are, as St. John says, those who in Jesus are already overcoming the world now.